But what happened on April 3rd, you say?
Survivor.
Oh.
Oh.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that cuts to black, fade in, sepia tone. We're hunting for the most deadly creature in the world, crabs. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, and my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, you hunting for crabs?
Eventually, all big game becomes crabs. Eventually, Survivor will just be crabs.
It's just Planet of the Apes, but with crabs.
The crabification of crabs.
Yeah.
Of Survivor. The crabification of Survivor.
How's it going, Jared?
A double day. It's been a while.
It's been a while since we've done a double day. I didn't ask, how was your last week in the last episode?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Busy, but not overwhelmingly so for once. Although, like, what days of the week were what got kind of fucked around? Because I had my physical, yearly physical on, like, Tuesday, I think it was. Mm. Who's to fucking say? And then I took, like, a half day for that, or a couple hours off at the end of the day. And then I got my license renewed finally on Friday. So it took a couple hours at the end of the day for that. So my work week was all kind of fucked around.
Mm-hmm.
And it really threw me off the entire week. But no, I played some more Disco Elysium, or had a friend doing a playthrough of Disco Elysium that I'm watching and like commentating on with them. And it's very fun to see it through somebody's eyes for the first time. They're making, it's friend of the show, Daria, actually. I forgot she's been on, so I can just say who it is. She's making wildly different decisions from the ones I made,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting to see, and a wildly different order of events, too. There's one thing in particular. It's opening the dumpster, for those of you that have played the game, that she has not done, and we're already into day two, or starting day two. It's like, it's driving me insane. It's driving me insane.
Do it. Do the dumpster.
But I'm not telling her anything. Yeah,
you don't want to lead her. You want to let her make her own decisions.
Right. But it's very important that you check the dumpster. So we'll see. My volleyball team, 3-0 to another team. Feels
nice.
Pretty good.
Nice. Oh, that's got to feel good after being on some not great athletic teams.
Feels really
together,
good.
Together, I mean. Like, you and I have been on some not great.
Well, I've done like 4 or 5 volleyball leagues now, and I like signing up as a free agent. Like, I don't like finding a team in advance because I like to meet new people.
Yeah.
This team's like half of the same people as last time, and I was like, that's fine. But the other half that we got are all really good, and mm-hmm. the people who stayed were also pretty good.
Nice.
So it's going well. I mean, I've gotten better because I hadn't really played a whole lot before, like as like a kid a little bit. But each team has been better than the last one by chance. And that feels good.
That's got to feel good. Maybe you're just getting better.
Well, there is also that. Do you want to do volleyball this summer? It'd probably have to be on the weekends because I'll be directing.
Possibly. Everything's kind of up in the air right now, like long-term scheduling-wise. But,
Well, you would have to work around your theater schedule because I will probably also have the same or very similar theater schedule. So I'd be like Saturday afternoons or something.
We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. I am interested.
Hell yeah.
Put it that way.
Beach volleyball is really fun.
Yeah. Jared, you'd be proud of me.
Okay.
Guess what game I downloaded and played?
Yakuza?
No.
Oh.
The other one that you've been going on about.
Disco?
No. Okay. Wait.
Marvel Rivals?
There you go.
Okay.
The free one.
I think you own Disco because it was free on PS Plus at one point.
Yeah, I own it on two platforms. It's on my Steam and it's on my PS Plus.
But hey, how do you like it?
I am not a hero shooter guy.
Oh.
It's fine. Like, it's fun to like pick up, play a few rounds, and then go away. Mm. But I'm not I just don't like.
I think you should keep trying new heroes till you find one that sticks with you.
Mm.
Like a game. Like, don't try to split time evenly, but like wait till you play one that you go, ooh, okay.
I mean, I have a couple that I'm like, oh, these are kind of fun.
Yeah, who do you play?
I've played, just dabbling. I've played a little Squirrel Girl. Squirrel Girl's
fun. Love Squirrel Girl.
Who else? Who's the blonde Russian Magic? Magic is her name.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of liked Magic. Who else did I like? I'm not, I want to like being a healer. I really do. Mm. But you're just so vulnerable. And
depends on who you're playing. Sure. Which ones have you tried?
I've tried... I'm going to butcher all of these names. So I know I've tried Jeff. Jeff the Shark.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
he's a little vulnerable, but you can just go under the ground and
be safe.
Yeah,
but they can still... You're not safe.
Well, okay, you're very hard to hit. That dorsal fin is really hard to hit.
There was also one asshole who was just targeting me so hard the last time. He was Mr. Fantastic.
And that's the goal.
I hate you.
Your team should peel for you, but we both know that's not going to happen.
They don't.
If you like healing but are like keep getting targeted, Rocket Raccoon. Mm. You have so many dashes that you can just go, and you can climb walls. So you just jetpack into a wall, climb it, jump off, and then hold the jump button, and you'll slowly float. You're so hard to track down.
See, I know that you could just keep trying things until something sticks, but I also don't think the game format super appeals to me.
That's fair. I mean, just hit diamond.
It's the same thing with League. Oh my god.
I hit diamond this week. I forgot about that.
You're a dedicated man, and I appreciate that.
Pretty much only on Star-Lord. Like, I just play one character. I've just been mainlining Star-Lord.
Bonkers.
If you have ADHD, you play Star-Lord.
Ah, okay. What's the correlation there?
Your goal is to be constantly moving and dodging and zipping around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're bored of shooting one target, you go and shoot another one.
I shoot you.
It tickles the brain real good.
Yeah. It's fine. It's just not for me, I don't think.
That's fair.
But what is, really?
I mean, a lot of our video game interests are polar opposites. Our overlap is very thin on video games.
That's fair. I do love a good platformer, a good RPG. That's our kind of overlap.
I like the ones that you like, but I don't play them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're put in front of me, I will play them and enjoy them, but I do not seek them out on my own.
Sure.
And you don't like competitive games as much as I do.
I don't.
And you shouldn't have liked League. That was the right decision.
You've made a life-altering choice. For the better.
Yeah, it's me playing League for 12 years is a canon event. Technically, I didn't stop playing it, but I just started playing Marvel Rivals, so I stopped playing it.
Okay. You know what else is a canon event? Emails! If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT, or on Patreon. But guess what? We covered all our emails last episode. So in lieu of that, Jared, you're going to explain the entirety of the halftime performance to our audience?
Kind of. So like, I have been obsessed with the Kendrick and Drake, and by that, like, really just the Kendrick side of the beef. because Drake appears to be a little bitch. And I'm not super into rap in general, though I do really like Kendrick stuff. So I just wanted to read some of the Wikipedia article of the feud for you, because it's crazy. And the Super Bowl halftime show just made it cherry on top. So basically they began on favorable terms back in like 2011. Kendrick like dissed him on one of Big Sean's Control. I guess he did a spot on that. But claimed it was like friendly competition. There were shots they kind of took at each other over the years, but it was like they've both denied that it was actually at each other. But you can read between the lines and maybe it is. Then in October 2023, Drake and rapper J. Cole released First Person Shooter, where Cole claims that he, Drake, and Lamar are the big three of modern hip hop. Unlike that, in March 2024, Kendrick responded that hip hop is just big me. So it's like the most innocuous thing in the world. Like basically, nah, I'm the best. Drake decided to turn that into a rap beef. So Cole first, J. Cole dissed Lamar on 7-Minute Drill, later apologizing and removing the song from streaming services. He was like, I actually don't want that heat.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm out.
And Drake dissed Lamar on Push-Ups and Taylor Made Freestyle. Okay. Now, the three songs in this trilogy of diss tracks that, Kendrick put out are Euphoria, Meet the Grams, and then Not Like Us, which was the Super Bowl song that he kept teasing and then played at the end.
For anyone who's like deep into this culture and already knows all this stuff, I apologize. Steven doesn't know any of this.
Kendrick dissed Drake in Euphoria on April 30th. Drake released Family Matters later on the 3rd, alleging that Kendrick is a domestic abuser and that music producer Dave Free biologically fathered Kendrick's son. That was the turning point.
Yeah, that's rough.
20 minutes later, Kendrick released Meet the Grams, accusing Drake of sexual predation, including sex trafficking, fathering a second secret child. Rapper Pusha D revealed in the 2018 diss track that Drake secretly had a son named Adonis, and like a whole bunch of other stuff. That song is savage. It's addressing that son that may or may not exist, or may or not be Drake's. It's unclear. And then another one of Drake's children, Drake's parents, their shit, and they're like, I wish he was dead. And like, he calls one of the lines is like, turns out you can have bitches and still be one, which is wild. And yeah, accuses him of like being a gambling addict and like a bunch of really, it's like 6 minutes of just a piano playing a very like repetitive stuff. And then basically Kendrick monologuing Shakespearean. I fucking love it. And then on May 4th, Not Like Us comes out, which is the Super Bowl song, where Kendrick accuses Drake of pedophilia, which we all obviously heard. Now, this is where it gets even more hilarious, because Drake just keeps taking L's here. Because the only response he had to that was basically like, I'm not a pedophile, which is a tough place. That's a tough place to be fighting back from. Mm-hmm. And also, you fell for the secret child thing. That was something I told people that wasn't real. And that's a weird defense. In November, Drake filed a petition against Kendrick's record label, Universal Music Group, claiming UMG failed to halt the release of Not Like Us, a song that Drake alleges is defamatory and inflated the song's popularity with illegal tactics, basically being like, no, it's not. The song's not that good. It's not that popular. You guys had bots. It's bots. Hey, you want to know the wrinkle in that, Steven?
Yeah.
Kendrick and Drake have the same label.
Hilarious.
So Drake sued his own label. And then, of course, we saw that Not Like Us won 5 Grammy Awards.
You know they like to sue, though. Bum, bum, bana.
Pretty good. Yeah, nobody has taken L's bigger than Drake. They went from, like, this, like, oh, haha, hip-hop feud, rap feud, to, like, no, actually, I hate everything about you, and I wish you were dead, and all your friends do, too, and also your parents suck, and you're a bad parent and a gambling addict and a sexual predator.
That's a lot.
What I learned from that is that I can hate harder. I should hold more hate in my heart.
Jared. I don't know about that, but
and there's a lot of stuff in there that's really cool and interesting in like the Super Bowl halftime performance that like I'm not qualified to talk on at length about, like, you know, like the 40 acres and a mule comment. Like, there's a lot in those songs about Drake not being black enough. Mm. That is, not being black enough, like using blackness as a, using it when it helps him and running away from it when it doesn't.
I'm not going to touch that with a 50-foot pole.
Well, but it's in the music. Like, you listen, yeah. You can listen to it. I mean, literally in Not Like Us, but not the part of it, because they're all the songs of Super Bowl Halftime Show are shortened. He says...
That is what a medley is, yes.
Oh, sure. Yes, it's a medley. Thank you. It's something like, you're not a something, you're a fucking colonizer, talking about Drake. Like, crazy, man. Crazy.
Not to jump off of that for a second.
No, that's kind of the end. I mean, that's what you missed on Glee, you know?
Do you remember when Drake was like the epitome of we had the Drake curse in sports for a little bit?
No.
Like all the teams that he just randomly showed up to support would lose.
That's hilarious.
It was pretty funny. I don't know how like long term it was, but I mean, he's a notoriously, I think, like Toronto Raptors fan.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Yeah. So, but like other random sports teams, he would show up wearing like a, I don't know, I'm going to put something random out, a Utah Jazz or a,
sure,
some random Nashville Predators. And you're just like, what? Why Drake? Why are you here?
Well, it's funny because I like don't care about celebrity stuff or like their gossip. Either. I don't keep up with it.
No.
But this is art. Like this is... And I like music a lot more than I like most things that celebrities are involved in. But like, I don't know, man. And it's so deep and so layered, like Serena Williams crip walking. Like
I did have to figure out why Serena was there,
because she's Drake's ex that he's been really weird about in songs and mm-hmm. stuff, and like called her husband a groupie.
Yeah.
In a song, like it's like weird.
So she said she got the call and she's like, yes, please get me on that stage.
Well, and SZA, who Kendrick has worked with before, I guess, I think it's allegedly like dated Drake right when she was 18 and mm-hmm. he's significantly older than her.
Do you also know the backstory of why she was specifically asked to do that dance?
She's from Compton, right?
Yes, but she crypt walk. Oh man, how white can Steven sound in like 2 seconds?
Listen, it's not something we were born and raised in, but it's interesting entertainment. It's cool.
She won the Olympics. She did the crypt walk dance in celebration.
Oh yes,
and
yes.
People were like, how dare you destroy these hallowed grounds with your
blackness
dancing?
Yeah, basically.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of like Kendrick's halftime show was not about Drake entirely. Like, no. There's that bit in it, but a lot of it was like
being black in America.
Well, and being like not trying to force yourself to be the right kind of black. Mm. Like, that's the Samuel L. Jackson character being like, too ghetto, too this, yep. too that. And it was powerful. I really liked it, and I also I gave like literally like the Wikipedia summary of the feud, but there's so much more there.
It was really cool. It was fun to watch. I should say that, knowing that I texted Dan, I was like, this isn't for me. Like, I'm not the target audience here, but I see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're not.
I don't listen to rap music, but sure. Like, I watching. For me, it was more watching social commentary than watching
yes.
a halftime like music show.
Yes, the social commentary is free. It's for anybody.
It's free.
It should be for everybody.
Actually, it's not free. I paid for YouTube TV to watch that game. Anyway.
You didn't have to. You could have watched it on Tubi for free, I guess.
I guess. Sure.
Sure.
How reliable. This sounds like Paramount Plus crashing in the Super Bowl when it was announced.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Okay. Anyway. Anything else you want to
rant about
while we have like 3 minutes?
Oh, you actually keep time when we're.
I try to keep it around the same amount of time. It doesn't ever work. But
oh yeah. Well, because I'm not, and I'm the rambler.
I mean, we have plenty to talk about in the episode.
So it's true.
Maybe we just get into the episode.
No, I mean that's all. I just want to tell a little story for people who may have seen the halftime show and been like, what the fuck was that about? Or like didn't know the context behind it. But yeah, if you haven't listened to the full song of Not Like Us, it's really good and you should listen to it multiple times because there's a lot in there that isn't just, there's cultural commentary on top of it being a feud song.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, you know what we should do? We should spin the Patreon wheel. Yep. So we're going to spin the, Patreon picker wheel. I added one that I thought would be fun. Solitary. I think I've explained this to you. It's you're trapped in a small box and you just have to outlast your opponents.
Ah, okay. This is not something that we'd be doing. This is something we'd be watching.
No, no,
got
no.
it.
Watching, very much so. Do you have anything you want to add?
No. I like to keep it to the most amount of Patreon subscribers
yeah,
as I can.
I agree. So, spinning that wheel. We are going to be covering. Oh, interesting. Okay, the Eco Challenge Fiji.
Okay.
This is something that's been talked about quite a bit. So
I know, I'm trying to remember what it is. Like, I remember talking about it, but I don't remember the specifics of the show.
I don't exactly either, but I do know that it is Survivor adjacent and that a lot of reality television people and Survivor people are attached to it.
Hmm.
And it has something to do with saving the planet.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't spoil future stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to double check that before we watch. But
cool.
You got it. Eco Challenge Fiji. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on April 3rd of 2008. A couple things that happened in the 2 weeks between episodes.
Ooh.
I guess March Madness again, probably.
I think that's why they had such a detailed recap at the start of the episode.
That's true, which really did kind of fuck me up. Which, yeah, we'll talk about in a second. Bhutan officially becomes a democracy with its first ever general election. Yay, democracy.
General election.
Aloha Airlines, a bankrupt airline, permanently ends passenger service. Whoops. And then this one's kind of contradictory with what I'm going to say next. Number one of the charts, Mariah Carey overtakes Elvis Presley's record of 17 number one U.S. hits with her 18th Touch My Body. Only the Beatles have more with 20.
Wow.
But the number one song on the charts is Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis. So,
huh.
Not really sure how that happened, but all right.
Maybe the weeks are slightly off.
Yeah.
Is next week the...
Maybe.
Who knows?
The top five movies are Meet the Browns, Drill Bit Taylor, where we talk about number three. Number two, Horton Hears a Who. And number one, 21. But number three, Steven, have you heard of Superhero Movie?
I've heard of it. I don't know that I've seen Superhero Movie. This is from the Scary Movie people.
I believe so, yes. After a bite from a genetically altered insect gives him superhuman abilities, teenage loser Rick Ricker...
Drake Bell.
Or Rick Riker. Drake Bell, yes. A lot of Drake this episode.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Decides to use his powers for good.
There is also some overlap in... context and things that
Drake's not a great name to have, apparently. Donning an uncomfortably tight costume, Rick becomes a mysterious crime fighter known as the Dragonfly. But standing in the way of truth, justice, and the American way is an evil villain known as the Hourglass, who plans to become immortal by sucking the life force out of anyone who gets in his way. Steven, what do you think Superhero Movie is rated on Rotten TV? On Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten TV.
On Rotten TV. Wow. Words are hard, man.
Two episodes is difficult. This is why we don't do it as much anymore. So I think that this is a silly movie that critics are going to absolutely pan. I'm going to go A, because it's not even as good as the Scary Movie. It's just parody for parody's sake.
Right.
And so we'll go a critic score of 7, an audience score of 30.
You're really close. Yeah, critic score of 16. Woo! So 7 to 16, not really that much different in terms of the actual quality. And then, audience of 32.
Wow.
The consensus being, Superhero Movie is not the worst of the spoof genre, but relies on tired gags and lame pop culture references all the same.
Tracks.
Yeah, there's a reason they stopped making them.
Yeah.
That is towards the end, right? Oh, no, they make a Twilight one. I saw that one.
Oh, do they? I don't think they call it something movie, though. I think it's a Twilight name. They try to get away from the Scary Movie franchise.
Oh, I believe so.
Because they make Disaster Movie, I think, is also the same. But yes, this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Well, the beginning of the end was a couple years before that. This is close to the end of the end.
All right. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Let's get into the episode. Episode 8, A Lost Puppy Dog. A sad puppy dog walks its way into camp and the castaways adopt it.
Hey, Steven.
Yeah.
Can we re-record episode 7 or at least the end of it?
No.
Where I talked up how good Amy was playing in not getting caught with all of her plans.
Sometimes I feel bad because I lead you into bad positions. Sometimes you do it all on your own.
In real fucking time, I said that 2 hours ago. We are speed running. How wrong can Jared be?
In your defense, she was playing a really good game. It is unfortunate that the only thing standing between her and Emerge was a sad, sad boy with his literal back against the wall.
And who's a bad liar, so you can trust what he's saying.
Yeah. Aww.
We'll get there. So because they spent a lot of time talking about the fake idol in the pre-episode, I confidently thought Jason was going home this episode.
Yeah.
I was like, why else would they put this here? Now, the 2 weeks between episodes makes that make more sense to remind people, and that we have the bit of them going to exile and Ozzy being like, he found the fake one.
I think that's more what it was about, but you're right. Maybe they just wanted to give more context to people who haven't been around for a while.
Yeah. And yeah, reminding people of that so that moment makes, so that when it gets to that moment, they don't have to go, wait, what is going on
Why
here?
Why is Ozzy so happy about this, that right. It's gone?
Because it would have been 6 real world weeks, 5 or 6 at this point.
Really?
I mean, that was episode 4 or 5? Or 3 or 4?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant between this episode and episode 7. I was like,
oh, no.
No, you just said it was 2.
That'd be a really long delay between, holy shit.
Yeah, I don't think the season would keep going at that point.
Yeah.
So we start the episode, and Eric is lucky. He feels lucky to be there, but he's scared to death that he's the only fan left. Like, that's it. That's all you got.
Yeah.
And he knows he's next. He's got to do something, right?
And right. I wrote this down even before this episode had happened, where they lost this immunity as well. But with all of the challenges that Malakal is losing, and even, like, they did not win as many challenges pre-swap as I think they should have. And Palau's history with this beach. Is the Malakal beach just cursed?
Maybe.
Is the tribe that lives on the Malakal beach just doomed to fail, or I guess, like, not succeed as much as they should have in terms of just the favorites tribe?
And it is the worst beach.
No, it's the better one.
No.
Malakal is the better
one. Right. You're right.
Yeah.
I said that backwards.
Yeah, Arai, the beach of winners for most of this location's history.
The beach James absolutely tanks this whole episode.
Why is Malakal losing? I don't understand. They don't either. And it will continue.
The world doesn't know. So yeah, Ozzy, still thus returning from him getting a little bit of a spotlight, is like, I'm not the leader. I'm not. I just have good opinions, and I know what to do. So that people think I'm a leader, but I'm not.
This and his conversation with Amy about it, like, he needs to take a page from the Todd playbook and just be paranoid in silence.
He can't.
It's a problem. It doesn't bite him in the butt this episode, but it's a really big flaw. That the not being able to shut down the paranoia and the vengefulness, we haven't seen them come up for him. It can be a little bit outweighed by his ride or die-ness with his alliance, but those are risky flaws.
And I think the paranoia is slightly justified.
Yeah.
But you're right. How you react to that changes this game for you.
Well, Todd's paranoia was justified in China as well, but I think he won that game, I mean, off his final tribal, but made it to final tribal because he shut the fuck up about it a lot of the time.
Mm.
He would tell us about it.
And Amanda.
And Amanda a little bit.
He went off on Amanda a few times.
Yeah. Well, yes, he did have that, like, the flaw of, like, going after people that he thought were going after him. But, like, he has a lot of those confessionals where it's like, what else can I do? I just have to trust them. But Ozzy is, like, trying to control the narrative so strongly here.
They need to trust me.
I'm not the leader, guys. Stop. Tell me I'm not the leader right fucking now or I'll lose my mind.
Do it. Yeah, so he says, I have a big target on my back. Thanks, Amy. Not Amy. Thanks, Tracy.
Tracy, yeah. Just pissing on Tracy's grave.
Yep. So we wake up the next morning and we're in this weird scene.
Why is this scene here? Is it just because it's cool? Because it is cool. Want it here, but I can't figure out why we see it.
It goes weird, noir, snuff film. I don't know, man.
Well, it's night vision camera in the early morning hours, so it's not quite full night vision, but like it's such low light that they use the night vision anyway. So yeah, it gives it that black and white, like sepia tone, really cool looking shit.
And they are trying to be quiet because they're trying to catch crabs. So they're like, okay, we're being as quiet as we can. So nobody's talking. The producers aren't talking. Amy and Sari aren't talking. So it's just, all right, let's go get the crab. And then Amy sees one, goes after it, and yaks it. Like, ah!
Two horror movie shots, two episodes in a row.
It was kind of funny.
It was good.
It was good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Nothing, like, substantial comes out of it.
I mean, they get eight crabs.
Sorry, for the viewers, like, this doesn't change anything about, like, Sari and Amy don't, like, have a strategic conversation. There's a little bit of bonding, but it's not relevant. It, you know, the question of whether Amy should stay or go has nothing to do with, like, providing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a cool scene.
It is a cool scene.
I like it.
Yeah. So, they bring back the crabs, and I don't know. It's just a nice bonding moment. Ozzy is then talking to Amy. He's like, man, that tribal was annoying. And Amy's trying to talk him off the ledge. Like, hey, you were fine. Don't let it bother you too much. Tracy came to everyone. She came to me trying to, like, get you to get voted out. but I stopped anything from happening. You weren't in any danger. Everything was good. Which is a lie.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not a lie. It could be exaggerated truth.
Yeah, because I do have a little bit of question of how close to pulling the trigger Amy was on those votes.
And that's fair.
Because she says in this episode, like, I was never going to do it. I was just keeping a better camp life, which I don't necessarily believe that.
No, I don't believe that even slightly.
But I think that people throw out a lot of plans that we don't see because they don't amount to anything. Mm-hmm. And I want to see more of them when they don't amount to anything. But it... Did they cherry pick confessionals of her just, like, brainstorming, or was she actively going through with these plans? And up until this episode, I thought actively going through with them. Now I'm a little more skeptical of that.
I think I want to give her credit where credit's due, is that yes, she was trying to talk him off the ledge of like, no, don't get too worried, because if you worry, then you come back to me, and then like, then we have to talk about some other things. What I think the show does well is that Amy, maybe not as much the Aussie vote, or this last vote, but the first vote post-tribe switch, she was kind of coming to those fans to be like, hey, I know you think you're dead, but here's this other option. And like, she was involved in the conversations of Chet.
True.
Like, Chet, just can you stick this out for one more day?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I think she was more involved than she led on in that tribal.
That's fair.
And once again, what are you going to say? Yeah, I tried to stab you in the back, but I learned my lesson. Thanks. Keep me on.
That could work. I don't know if it would have worked. It wouldn't work on Ozzy, but that could work in a future season of like, yeah, I did try to go after you. It was dumb. I didn't go through with it. That would be a really interesting strategy. No, you're right. I think I was just trying to hear out the other side of that possibility, because we hear, you know, because editing.
Yeah.
And storytelling. But yeah, no, thinking back to the rest of the episode, yeah, no, she was definitely, those were honest attempts.
Yep. So we end that conversation with, you know, she was a little too adamant about her protection of me.
The lady doth protest too much.
I got an uneasy feeling. Anyway, at IRI, we have food dreaming.
Food dreaming and Jason dunking.
So they're talking about, pizzas and all these creature comforts from back home.
And they're going to get pizza. Good for them.
I know, right? What are those little animals over there? Those are rats, you see.
How do you not know that those are rats by you're 20 days in? How do you not know those are rats?
I don't know. You're in a foreign land.
Steven, they're rats.
I know. But if you don't get a good look at them, if you're just like looking from far away, you're like, I don't know, is that like...
Or maybe asking, because can we catch them and eat them?
Yeah. Is that a food that I can eat?
Jason says yes.
Jason like chases it around for a little bit, and he's kind of poking at it. Is he using a shovel? What is he using?
I think he was using the paddle.
Oh. Huh. Okay. So
the canoe, yeah.
He's chasing it around. He's stabbing at it. And he gets a rat and he kills it. So good for him with a question mark?
I guess.
And then they...
He talks about how like no one's eaten a rat in Survivor since season one.
Yep.
Is that true?
I think it is.
Okay.
Or at least...
At least that we've seen.
Yeah. There may have been people who were like, I don't know, like, rats. I wouldn't be surprised if the last time we came around to Palau that they tried to eat rats.
Sure.
But again, not only do you have to catch the rats and kill the rats, you then have to cook the rats.
God.
And Parva's really funny here. He's been trying to impress the tribes since day one. It's not working. We still think he's a loser.
Yeah, the exact quote was, I think he's a loser, from Parv. I was like, all right, yeah, we're entering the Jason has to get screen time, so the screen time is going to be saying that he fucking sucks, huh? All right.
So then later on, same beach, James is like, man, this beach sucks. Like, we can live on Malakal. Like, people can live on Malakal. You can't live on this beach. This is where they bring the criminals.
And again, why does everyone that lives on the Arai beach keep succeeding then?
I don't
understand.
Parv says, I want to go back to Amanda and Suri.
Yeah.
Choice people there. Does not say Ozzy.
No, I think she said Ozzy.
Does she? From what I heard, I didn't hear the name Ozzy, but I could have just missed it.
Or maybe I'm thinking when Amy was listing all the people she wanted to bring far into the game.
Mm.
Maybe I'm mixing those up. But if you're right, that is interesting and a bit of a tell.
Yeah. And she talks about, hey, we just got to make it to the merge. We make it to the merge, we're in good shape. But maybe I got to pull in two more just for safety's sake.
Well, and if they go to tribal, if Arai goes to tribal, which, reminder, they have not.
Uh-huh.
They need four.
Right.
And that would be Parv, James, and I guess Parv doesn't want to work with Eliza then, so pulling in
Natalie and Alexis.
Natalie and Alexis instead.
Yeah, that's her move, is she goes to Natalie and doesn't say, like, we don't see her going to Alexis, but talks about, like, that's a move. And you know what? Hey, after we merge, we're probably in good shape because all the targets are going to be the big, strong guys.
It's a great read. They're going to go for Ozzy and James first.
So what if us three in Parv, Natalie, Alexis, add Amanda, and we just call it a day?
I want to ask you if you think this is actually going to happen, but you already know
the
answer.
I do already know what happens.
Yeah. Sucks. Because it's...
What do you think?
Well, I think that Parv doesn't even know which one is real yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that Parv has now given herself a bunch of options.
Yeah.
And that's good. I do think there's a little bit of the pride of, like, again, listeners wrote in about it. And then Sri talks about it, this tribal, of, like, we are the home team. We do not want the visitors to win. So, like, Natalie and Alexis will be on the bottom of that alliance.
Sure.
But will they be able to keep them around long enough to get rid of James and Ozzy and still hold the power will be the interesting part of it. I still think the final three could be Amanda, Parv, and Sari.
That would be bonkers.
I hope it's correct, but I've been so wrong.
Okay. Yeah. And then we get free mail and we're told, hey, someone's getting sent to exile before the challenge starts, and that person will be safe from whatever vote happens, but they will be attending tribal council.
So I told Steven when we were watching this that this 100% felt like one of those episodes where both, they do a reward challenge, both sides go to tribal, the side that won the challenge votes first and then gets to watch how the second side votes and eat their meal at tribal, and then they had to change it because of the medevacs. Because, like, this...
You're not doing a double vote after you've lost two people.
Exactly.
Back to back.
You have the double votes in there. And we've talked about this too structurally, because in the case of medevacs or quits, like, they'll build in extra things like this where they might be doing multiple votes close together, which is... I really fully believe that's what happened here.
I can't argue with it. It is a sound judgment that you're throwing in there.
Because it feels kind of slapped together in some ways of, like, oh, the pizza and beer will be brought to your camp. Like, you're not going anywhere on a reward. And the sending people, like, both sides get immunity, but only one of them actually needs it.
Mm-hmm.
That felt like they had to pivot a little bit.
That part felt a little flimsy, but, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not game-breaking by any means.
No, it's like a little Easter egg.
Yeah. And so they go through and they're picking their people. This is like a soft, oh, hey, Tracy was voted out from one side.
Yeah, because she's not on the list.
Yeah. And Eric hoping real hard for an immunity. Otherwise, he's dead.
He should have been.
And so we get to the challenge and, hey, we pick Ozzy because he's a challenge beast and we got to get rid of him. And Malachal picks... Alexis.
Well, James, yeah, James crossed out with a note that says not James,
exactly.
And then circling Alexis and say this one.
Was this a good pick or a bad pick?
I think it was an irrelevant pick.
Mm-hmm.
James didn't do anything to swing the challenge, and Alexis wouldn't have done anything differently.
I would have shifted. I mean, tough to say. You're getting, like, coded clues of what this challenge is, and I think they read the situation right, that it was a balance challenge.
Yeah,
but what they didn't foresee is that Jason actually was better at this than I think Alexis would have been.
Yeah, I mean, James isn't necessarily going to be the one to win you this, and Jason is the other, like, strong guy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think Parv would have probably done better than Alexis. Like, Parv is probably the hero or competitor on this challenge if Jason isn't there.
Mm.
Eliza did okay.
Eliza did okay. Yeah. So this whole scene was so funny because Jeff's like, all right, give me the idol. And Jason's like, how about you tell us what we're playing for? And Jeff's like, how about you give me the idol?
He did not hide that he was mad very no. well.
He was not playing around.
He's not like Jason. No, everyone just kind of ignores him if they can, and then begrudgingly deals with him if they have to. It's so apparent that everyone finds him annoying.
I do love when Jeff outwardly hates a competitor and it's justified.
Yeah.
Not like a, I hate you because you voted out my girlfriend, but I hate you because you're an asshat.
Yeah.
And I don't want you in this game.
Oh, I can't wait till Jason goes home just to hear all the shit.
And there's probably like a ton of backstory from like casting and producing. And he was like, no, I hate this guy. And he's like, and producer says, no, we want him.
We want the person that you hate because we think America will hate him. And then they'll watch his downfall.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, they're playing for pizza and beer and the chance to not go to tribal council. It is both reward and immunity.
Yep.
And they have to cross a small obstacle course while also are being thrown, like people throw punching bags at you.
Yeah.
And if you fall or touch the ground at any point, you have to go back to the start.
Back to the start's kind of nuts. In the past, it's usually like back to the previous leg of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can get all the way, have the flag, get all the way to the last thing, fall, and have to go all the way back to the start.
Yep.
Oof.
It's brutal. And so a lot of this challenge, Eric is doing this leap over the first obstacle, which is two tight ropes with small little circles on it. Like you
cross. Stepping stones.
Yeah, stepping stones. He just jumps across and
it works until it doesn't.
It works 80% of the time.
And then in that 20%, you know, most of those are fine except for one.
Bone crunching.
I forgot that they did tease this on the last time
yeah,
on.
They did.
And they really teased it as like a medevac or as like like an injury, like a bad injury. And it's like, no.
I'm telling you, man, those injuries, even especially since we aren't seeing a lot of these, stacking up.
Well, bruised ribs for sure.
Yeah.
But not like game ending type of injury like they made it look like on the last time on.
Yeah.
I hate those now.
So a lot of this challenge is pretty close. Eric does a good job. Jason does a good job. You're right.
A lot of people aren't swinging the bags. They're trying to throw them at them, but it doesn't reach them. And they don't. It was mostly the Mollicol tribe that it's like you're throwing it straight at them, but the rope's not long enough for that. So it stops short of them and then just gets pulled back towards you.
It's weird. The one person who I'm like, they could throw it and it would have some force is James. And he's the only one who's swinging it correctly.
Yeah. And he does hit Eric one time and has like a really good shit-eating grin about it.
Yeah. A good thud. I love the back and forth of Eliza and Amy doing a little like cat and mouse game with, I'm going to throw it. Oh,
yeah.
I'm not going to throw it this time. Oh, knowing that they both like each other. They both, well, I don't know if I can say that.
They have a love-hate relationship. They have a sister-like relationship.
Yeah. And they want to work together too, but not. They're not on the same tribe right now.
Right.
So that's kind of fun. We talked about Eric taking a huge hit. And that was kind of out of desperation because they were down a flag and he needed to try to go get one more while Jason already had his in hand.
Did you see Eric want to shove Jason off the platform so bad?
He thought about it.
And he's like, no, I think that's against the rules. They said, and our listener said as well, Eric is a different person during challenges.
Uh-huh.
He is not the nice puppy dog that we know him as for the rest of the show.
And I think Amanda says it back at camp.
Yeah.
She's like, he pile drive me, but back here, he's just a little baby.
He's just a little guy.
He's a little guy. So yes, anyway, Irai wins.
Because he was also the one that held Yao Man underwater, right? Where like they'd be like, get off him, you're going to drown him.
I think so, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Irai wins. Jason celebrates pizza and beer like right when he crosses the finish line. Good for him. Anyway,
he showboats it like an asshole, though.
He does. At the Mollicol camp, the first words that we hear, I think it was Amanda saying, hey, that was a hard hit. You okay? And I relate to this so much. You know how you like get injured and you like keep it together, and then the minute someone asks you about it, you're like, no, I'm not okay.
You're like, no, actually, like, I'm in quite a bit of pain.
That's when the tears start flowing.
It is funny that he takes off his shirt to show people. I think he expected there to be like a massive bruise, yeah. And there's just nothing to show, which doesn't mean he didn't bruise his ribs or have some other injury, but it's just kind of funny because he's like, yeah, look at it. Oh,
there's nothing.
It doesn't look like anything.
It definitely hurts, though. Yeah. Tomorrow, there's probably going to be a bruise or something there.
Probably.
Yeah. Ouchies.
I wonder if medical checked him out. Probably.
Probably. I mean, nothing came of it, so they're going to let it go. And, then we start to have the, all right, let's say our last respects for Eric. Amy says he's a genuine person, and I want him to stay. I just don't see any way out for him. Little does Amy know, his one way out is by dunking you.
Yeah, and it started to feel that way. I mean, even early episode with Ozzy being like, can I trust Amy? I was like, okay, Eric should go home, but they're setting some seeds that, like, maybe it could be Amy. And if it is, that'll be kind of confusing. But it makes more sense as the episode goes on.
Mm-hmm. At IRI, they eat their pizza. Jason claims he's the MVP of that challenge.
I mean, he's right, but he's... breaking news, or bad news, the worst person you know just made a good point.
But then he counters it with a bad point that I don't feel safe here, but good thing I have this here idol.
Jesus Christ. The next time on showing Eliza being like, no, you don't. You don't have the idol, Jason, is hilarious.
That's not the idol, that's a stick.
God, I hope he doesn't listen to her. This scene and that little bit from the next time on of him like arguing with her about him having the idol, I actually now fully believe that Jason believes that is the idol. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's editing. I think he just believes it.
I think you're right. I think all bought in.
I'm so glad.
So they then eat their pizza. Man, James opened bottles with his mouth.
With his teeth. He's opening beer bottles. First of all, did they not give them a bottle opener?
I guarantee they did, but he just thought that this is faster.
Well, and clearly he's done it before. And he
need party trick. Never do that around me.
Never do it. Just if you saw that, you're like, I want to be a cool guy. Don't.
Do it on a table. Be cool that way.
Yeah, dude.
Not like, my table. Don't do that on my table.
It's and he's like it's leverage, not power, which like he's right.
He's right.
And he obviously knows what he's doing. Jason tries to do it, and I was like, oh, are we gonna get another awry medevac on like somebody chipping their tooth open and getting like a fucking tooth infection or something? Because that is one of the stupidest things you can do with your teeth.
I agree. So we flip to Exile, and you know what? Ozzy already has the idol. He doesn't have to do this too hard, but you know what? For good sake, let's go see if my idol was picked up that I placed.
He gets to pretend. We'll see if Alexis buys it.
Yeah.
And he gets to see if somebody has the fake idol.
You know what? Best of both worlds in that one.
Yeah.
Assuming he acted it well. So we flip back to Malakal, and Cerise's like, why can't we win? Amanda says, I've never lost so much in my life. And this is where the Eric is different in challenges than he is here.
It is interesting. Amanda doesn't seem like the same person from China. Like, obviously she is. But, like, maybe it's just because there's so many people that get screen time on the favorites that we don't get as much of her in confessionals, which is where she really shined. But she doesn't seem to have the same, like, strength of will. Like, it seemed like before she even if she wasn't making the move, she had her own moves, she had her own strategy. She just seems to be kind of following right now.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know, after playing that whole game and getting all the way to the end, I don't know, maybe you change up your strategy, maybe you take a little bit from you things that you saw that worked, or maybe she's just like, this is a lot of big personalities, and if I insert myself into the big personalities, I don't think it's going to go well, so maybe I follow a little bit more than I would have.
That's fair. Yeah, and I don't remember who it is. I think it's Amy or Eric right after this that start talking about the game in terms of phases. Like, and Parv did it earlier with the whole, like, once we hit the merge, we won't be the targets. But specifically calling out the phases of the game and what strengths and alliances they need in those phases. Hmm. Oh my God. Strategy.
Not in my Survivor.
The next evolution of Survivor strategy has happened in these last couple episodes, at least in the way that people communicate that strategy.
Yep. And then Eric kind of slinks over, hey, how much do you trust Amy? Because she was definitely trying to set something up, not just this last time, but the time before. So I like Amy a lot, but you gotta maybe take a look at her.
This doesn't work for like 90% of contestants.
Yeah.
Because a lot, like if Tracy did this, they'd be like, no, Tracy, you're trying to save your own ass. You gotta go. But Eric's just such a squishy boy that they're like, huh. And there is desperation behind this, but it doesn't feel like there's deception behind it.
Right. And he's humble about it. Like he's saying, I was a part of that too, but like,
of course I was. I was on the opposite. I was your opposition.
Yeah. Clearly I was part of this, but Amy is the bigger threat because you don't know what she's a stabbing.
And Amy has already lost trust with at least Ceree. Don't forget, she voted for Ceree on the Yao Man vote. Mm-hmm. Like, that is doing her no favors here.
Mm-hmm. And Ceree says, you know what? Eric will sell his soul to try to get past this one vote. But Amy? Amy's proved time and time again that I can't trust her.
Mm-hmm.
So, who do I trust the least in this situation?
Which at that point, you don't want to go with who you trust the least. You want to go with the person you can or trust the most to keep around. You want to keep the person around that you can predict the easiest.
Because uh-huh.
you can't trust either of them. So you might as well just try to understand their motivations and all of that. And there's another wrinkle to keeping Eric I just realized. Amy getting voted out means that maybe the fans don't trust Eric as much as they would have, because mm-hmm. hey, you're the only fan left and a favor got voted out, so they must have brought you in, like at least puts in a little seed of doubt.
And I think there's good strategy too of, hey, take out this person who is a good strategist, who is has played this game before and has had years to sit and stew on this of what moves should I have made that maybe could have saved me versus this You're
Puppy
right.
Dog.
Small, squishy boy who maybe if we give him this short little leash, he might be thankful for that.
And he's not a planner.
No.
Whereas,
clearly.
Like, now, I mean, like, when Eric says his plan, I'm sure Ceree and Amanda are going back through the last votes and thinking about all the stuff that Amy said to them and going, yeah, that kind of lines up, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So then while he is saying this, then Amy rocks up on this, continues on her walk, but like stops just short of going away and is watching this saying, oh shit, I know exactly what he's doing.
Which we haven't seen a lot of people spill plans like this when mm-hmm. they're on the way out just in case. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so Amy comes back and she's like, hey, he just told you everything, didn't he? So, she has to come clean about a lot of things and try to spin it in a, I wasn't a part of, like, I was a part of that, but I didn't do it because I had the trust and safety of all you guys.
And they were talking to me, but I wasn't talking to them,
mm-hmm.
is her argument. And then also, you guys didn't make me feel included.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I wish she would have stopped there
uh-huh.
at the end where she's like, I was the last one you guys approached. I want to feel like I'm part of you guys because you didn't include me. He was like, of course, you were working with this other group of four.
It's a bit chicken and the egg, though. It's Amy basically saying, I was on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I'm exploring my options. And them saying, well, they don't outright say, yeah, you were on the bottom. But like both sides know that she was on the bottom.
Right.
But you shouldn't have explored your options even though you were on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So like, was she on the bottom because she explored her options, or was she exploring her options because she was on the bottom is the question.
Right. And I feel for her because yeah. I think the group of two couples came together before the other group came together, at least in my opinion. Obviously, there are pregame
alliance. I was gonna say, yeah, the pregame alliance, maybe not so much. But was Amy even a part of the pregame alliance?
I mean, not of the three big one, like the big three that we talked about with
Yao, Penner, and Fairplay.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I think things kind of built around that. But
yeah, it feels like Amy just could not get her footing in this game.
Yeah. She was dealt a bad hand, and she kept trying to dig and dig and dig.
Well, she did what we've, or at least I've always advocated, I think you have too. Like, if you're on the bottom, make a move.
Yep.
And she's tried over and over again, and I complimented her on it last episode, two real world fucking hours ago, that she's doing it and not getting caught, and it's going super well. Until, oops.
And it's so easy to say, hey, she got caught because she was sloppy, or she was like trying too hard too early. But what's the difference between her getting voted out here versus getting voted out at 6 or 7?
Well, the jury.
Yeah. But when you've played this game before
and been on the jury,
on the jury, what's the difference between 7th place and not getting on the jury? Like,
yeah,
I did what I could. I would rather go for the win and not make the jury.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's trying to scratch and claw here.
Well, she has a heart-to-heart with the three of them that we kind of went over strategically, but it's also very emotional of her not feeling included, which is tough.
And we leave it at Amanda saying, hey, better the devil you know versus the devil you don't, in I would rather keep Amy than Eric, because I don't know what Eric's going to do here.
Right.
I know I can't trust her, but I can at least maybe use that in a way that I couldn't with Eric.
She's making the same argument we just made of keeping the person that you can predict easier, but she thinks she can predict Amy easier, and Ozzy is emotional, but also, I guess, thinks he can predict and control Eric better.
Yep. So then Ozzy comes back.
Well, before that, want to say, there's a short little scene that is crazy of Amy being like the mean girl in high school. First of all, like pointing the machete right in Eric's fucking face.
I want to thank you.
Thank you, with the machete under your chin. Hey, you know, you talking to them was actually the best possible thing for me. It made us really close. So thanks for trying to betray me. It helped me a lot. And Eric doesn't know what to say at all.
No.
Clearly he's never had to deal with a conversation like this, which, like, I don't think I have either, so I get it. Where he's like, you're welcome? What do I say here?
What he did. Nothing.
Say it. Correct. You just kind of ran or stuttered and was like, yeah.
Okay.
But yes, now Ozzy comes back.
Yeah, so now Ozzy comes back. So Eric immediately goes to work on him. He's like, he hasn't even stepped off the boat yet. And he's like, hey, I got to talk to you.
He's just sitting there fucking waiting for him.
He tells him the same stuff that he told Suri and Amanda.
I wrote this section down as, Moms said I can't be in the Alliance, Dad. Dad, can I be in the Alliance?
What did your mom say?
Well, she
told me to ask Dan.
Mom tried to get a divorce with you. That's basically what he's saying.
Oh, okay. So Ozzy is like, he looks at me like a lost puppy dog, and he spills all the beans. And Ozzy's ego is so, like, triggered here. It's like, when someone makes a move against me, I do everything to get them out as fast as I can.
We've seen this from a few different people.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's the right move, but I understand the impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And Ozzy's emotional.
Ozzy's emotional. And Ozzy goes and he talks to everyone here. And honestly, this is all just set up for the big blow up that we're about to have at Tribal.
And we see Amanda's point of view. She'd rather keep Eric. She'd rather keep Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Ozzy would rather keep Eric. We don't get Suri's opinion, probably because it would tell you which way the vote's going. But I think that Amy's vote for Suri and then, you know, sort of their issues was the tiebreaker here.
Yep. Yeah. So then we go to Tribal. Go on. You're laughing immediately.
Because they walk in and Jeff goes, so you're clearly the inferior tribe.
You lost four... four immunities in a row. You're clearly the inferior tribe. Like, ouch, Jeff. Okay.
This is the kind of thing you can say to a tribe of mostly favorites. Like, returnee players.
Mm.
Like, you don't say this to a first season. I mean, I guess he kind of has.
He
but
kind
like,
of has.
The wording of it is so intense.
I love it.
It's pretty funny.
We pivot to Eric. Like, Eric, surely you feel hopeless here. And he says, yes, I feel hopeless. Great. And then Ozzy indirectly calls out Amy here.
Well, that's pretty direct. It's just missing a name.
Exactly. It's as direct as you can be without saying, Amy did this. Like, people are trying to strategize and, like...
I'm not going to name names, but there's a lesbian on our tribe that really lost my trust.
So Amy feels it.
Amy's like, it's just, that's me. You've literally just said me without my name.
She feels it. She's crying already.
I know.
And it's like, well, okay, hold on now. Now that I'm finally, like, part of this group, now that we've had this heart-to-heart, now you're going to, like, come after me and say you don't believe me anymore? I would have never voted for you, Ozzy. The only vote I would have given you was $1 million.
The lady doth protest too much. I mean, the tears are real.
Yeah.
The emotions are real. But it feels like it is, oh, I got caught and I feel bad about, not just about getting caught, but like I feel bad about trying to betray people that actually maybe I could have just had a conversation with earlier and worked my way in. And now I'm facing the consequences of that. And the how do you say this word, Steven?
Ostracization.
Thank you. That one. of it.
The ostracization.
The
turning into an ostrich.
Yes, the ostrification of, like, those decisions. I wonder if there would have been a path for her here to say, yeah, I did do all that, actually. I didn't go through with it, but I was planning, and I was nervous, and I was scared, and I won't do that again. Because, I don't know, you're not going to convince him at this point that you didn't do it, so maybe just owning it and apologizing is better. But I don't know, you might just go home then, too.
I feel like the way she played it was probably the best move.
Yeah.
Because Ozzy's all about his ego right now. And if you say, hey, no, I think you have this wrong, versus, yes, I tried to stab you, but I promise I won't do it again.
That's fair. And Ozzy's ride or die for the tribe, outside of his own personal ego. Like, he's also, he sees himself as, he won't call himself the leader, but sees himself as the leader of the group, or it's like his group. And if you come for him, you come for all of them, and you're no longer in the group. He's very tribal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Eric is obviously, his back's against the wall, and Amy's once again trying to give her, like, no, trust me, guys, I promise. My heart's in this. We have so much that we could do together here. So we can go so far together. I want to keep Parv, and I want to keep James, and I want to even keep Eliza
the
in.
The even there is so funny.
That's,
those two have a complicated relationship.
Yeah. Ozzy saying, I want to trust Amy, and Amy chiming in with, it kills me that he wants to trust me, but he won't.
Yeah.
He could just do that. That's a thing that he could do.
Yeah, but I get it.
Yeah. And then we vote. And it is a 4-1 line. Amy is gone in a sweep.
Poor Amy.
Poor Amy. Hugs Eric. Like, she was all about the tribe. And yeah, she really did feel bad having to send Eric home, even though it turned out not that way.
Right.
You guys are going to have so much fun, and then turn.
Well, she says to Eric, you're going to have so much fun.
Yes.
Because he's the only fan left, and, like, she's basically saying, like, hey, the post-merge game is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Which I imagine the post-merge game of Survivor is more fun than the pre-merge.
I agree. And then turns around after her torch is snuffed, like, you guys better start winning. It's very, very...
It's very sweet.
It's sweet. It's very mom. How do you think Amy does in Future Survivor?
I think she, even though she did not make it as far in Fans versus Favorites as Vanuatu, I think she played a better game in Fans versus Favorites. I think she had harder circumstances. Like, she was in the power position for a large chunk of Vanuatu, and she ran a tight ship. But she just kept taking L's this season that felt almost entirely out of her control. Like, a lot of pre-merge alliance and showmance stuff put her on the back foot from day one. And I honestly, like, I can't even fault most of, if any of, the moves that she did, but she seemed more grounded. She seemed more mature. She seemed to have a better strategic mind about her than the previous time she played. She seemed more creative in her moves, although I guess she didn't have to be in Vanuatu. So, like, if she ever came back, like, she's a potential winner pick for me. And I feel really bad for the way this season went for her, because especially knowing the context of what was going on a couple weeks before this, she had a really rough go of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't come back, even if they asked her to.
Fair. I think she is one of my biggest what-ifs of Survivor.
Yeah.
Because she got dealt not great situations on either season she was in. And
she had a pretty good situation.
She had a pretty good situation, but she didn't, like, things didn't go the way that they necessarily could have. She's a good strategist. I think a decent communicator, but
I think she's a way better communicator in Fans versus Favorites than she was in Vanuatu.
That's fair. Yeah. I think she could win this game, but yeah.
She almost won Vanuatu.
That's fair.
Like, a vote went the wrong way with, like, Twyla betraying them, but, like, she was close, man.
Mm. Yeah. She does not come back. This is the end of the line for Amy. There's some stuff out there, and I don't know, a lot of it seems really fresh out of the game. Like, it's very raw, and she talks about how she would absolutely be ride or die with Ozzy.
Mm.
And, like, almost like we saw the episode where I'm like, you're saying this too much.
Gotcha.
Like, compliments him on his looks.
Well, he's a very attractive man.
He's a very attractive man. And she says that, but I'm like, okay, but, like, what? That has nothing to do with strategy here.
Sure. Yeah. And well, pretty privilege.
That is true. apparently Tracy said something about, she thinks that the favorites on the Malakal tribe were throwing challenges to, like, get rid of the fans, and that just wasn't the case.
I don't see that at all.
No.
A lot of them got, like, very close. Ozzy certainly would never throw a fucking challenge, except for the one time in Cook Islands he actually did, now that I say that out loud.
Yeah.
But since that point, since, like, literally the second episode he was ever on, like, I just don't see him wanting to do that. Like, none of them look happy that they're losing.
No.
They look miserable.
And apparently she moved to New Zealand and just lives there.
Cool. Good for her.
Yeah. Your protagonist of the episode.
I wonder if she saw my friend in the Lord of the Rings musical.
Hey.
That went down there. Amy. This is Amy's episode from top to bottom.
Yep.
And, man, what could have been?
What could have been?
Because she goes further in this season. Like, she potentially comes back for Heroes versus Villains if she wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, at least gets the ask.
Yeah. Mm.
They should have brought her back for Fans versus Favorites too.
Do it again. I don't think she was, but she would have been a good, well, I guess she already had a second chance. I was going to say second chances vote, but
Third chances.
Never mind then.
Yeah, man. One episode away from the merge too.
Mm-hmm.
And her game would have probably gone very differently from there than it had been going.
At least she had more options at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. We talked for a long time.
We did. My voice is tired.
My brain is tired.
Yeah. Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turn Back Time podcast. Jared, big yawn.
Big yawn. Big stretch.
Big stretch. We were at... Okay, never mind. I'm going to save that for like 2 seconds later. What would you like to promote?
My protagonist of my week.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say? What are you going to protagonist? I want to promote, the theater company I run again. Black Cat Theater, our auditions got posted today. But more importantly, because I assume that not many actors in the Chicagoland area listen to this. At least I hope not. we will have, the performances are on April 1st and April 7th. If you're in the Chicagoland area, at the Edge off Broadway Theater, tickets price will be something.
Good, good.
We need to do some math. We're going to be doing a, I believe, $15 ticket. If you, like, industry, you're just like, whatever. If you only have $15 you want to pay, fine. Or maybe it's $10. I have it written down somewhere. But then we're going to take part of financial transparency for the company is doing a ticket pricing option that is true cost. So, hey, this is how much it costs us to put this up. This is how many seats we have that if we sold out every single night, this is what a ticket would cost to break even, basically. So I don't know what that number is yet. But
okay.
Yeah. What about you, Steven?
I'm going to do two things real quick. One, for Valentine's Day. It wasn't exactly on Valentine's Day, but went out. Went to the Catcade here in Chicago.
Yeah, I love the Catcade.
Have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
It's cute. The whole mission is just to, they shelter cats and then people can come in and adopt them, but you just get to go and hang out with the cats. It's very cute. It's a good time. It's like $20 and you get an hour. More expensive than I would like to pay, but like, good mission.
It's going to an animal shelter.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I would have adopted just about any of those cats.
If Shadow wasn't an asshole.
Exactly. It's, and they say with a lot of them, like, hey, we want you to adopt this with another cat. To have them bonded together. And a lot of them are like, hey, you can either adopt with another cat or adopt if you have a cat at home who is young and spry and can hang. Shadow's not that.
Yeah, your cat hates other cats.
He
with
does.
A violence I have not seen in other animals.
Maybe when he's gone, we will go back. But for now,
it's not an option.
Just the Shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to get Sonic.
The cat?
You have Shadow. Now you need Sonic.
I see. Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. I did have another one. I'll save it for another time.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I guess I'll do it now.
Up to you.
Sure, whatever. The other thing, if you're interested in, like, if you have smart appliances, smart devices that you want to kind of connect, but you're like, ugh, these don't live in the same ecosystem, they don't talk to each other well, look up Home Assistant. Home Assistant is an app and a system that you can put them all on the same app and make it work together. You do have to either build or make or order a small computer, like a Raspberry Pi situation, to make it run. But if you have a lot of devices, sometimes it works better.
Fuck is a Raspberry Pi?
You don't know what a Raspberry Pi is?
I know a pie made of raspberries.
No.
Okay.
It's like a mini computer that it's been around for a long time. A lot of homebrew stuff runs on Raspberry Pi.
Oh, interesting.
A lot of emulators run on Raspberry Pi.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is this hardware?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Go look up Raspberry Pi while you're at it.
Sure. Three things from Steven.
For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
Now I want some pie.
I would eat pie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.